We are Brightside.
Theater nerds, welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, a home theater podcast that's all about the experiences, the sights,
the sounds,
the scenes.
Yeah, and this year, this week, finally, well into 2025, we're going to have the top 10 home theater experiences of 2024. You know, we don't want to do it when everybody else is doing it.
Yeah.
Well, wait.
Let's do 2023 again then.
Casually late to the party. That's the way it should be.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, can't wait. The list came out very good this year, I think. I think some things are slotted exactly where they should be. And it shows the diversity of opinion of the bus bench. Let's just say that. Much like last
year. Number one.
Well, again, somewhat, I think. We'll see how it shakes out, but
I unfortunately am the only one that
knows.
By default,
it's really not opinion at all.
What?
Everything on my list is there because it's literally the only thing I could put on it.
But yeah, but that's your list, and that's what makes it. But that's
it's
the thing.
Not my opinion.
Well, you made the list. How they fall on your list is your opinion, right?
Number three, paint dry. Number four,
yeah,
taking
exactly.
out the mail. Number five, mowing the lawn.
We'll talk about it more later. But after the top three, my list is just there. They're just there. Because I had to fill out 10 items.
It's not a grocery list.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, yeah. I wasn't allowed to go into the self-service till unless I did that.
Yeah, John got the sweats when I told him he had homework. He's like, oh, no. Uh-oh. Did we lose him?
Yeah, you're right, John. Yeah, he's on mute.
On
mute, buddy. Yeah, you've...
I don't know what happened.
Moot.
Gave me a
pop-up. You're on the wrong mic.
Mm-hmm. I guess it's back.
Oh.
Hang on.
Wrong mic.
Yeah.
Here we go.
I mean, I kind of stand it. Fancy doing a live show and having a mic problem. Ooh. I mean, what?
I know.
It's outrageous. Wow. Outrageous.
I'll have to go up and come back in because this mic's not on the list of options.
Did it plug it? Did you plug it back in?
Well, it didn't say unplugged. It just said unplugged disconnected. And I just got a pop-up that said it lost. I mean, but it didn't come unplugged physically, dude. It just like lost connection. So I don't know what to do.
Yeah. Man, cool.
Yeah.
So it's not a live show without a microphone issue.
Oh, fair play.
Actually, wait till he stands up to check something. That's a live show for you right there. Okay. You go.
Yeah, you guys do that.
We will banter in the meantime.
We can do that. We can do that.
Steve, what are we talking about? I don't know, buddy.
Well, that's easy. Has John from last week, did he put a dollar in the swear jar after last week?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly. It's where is that thing? There it is.
Yeah, good man. Is. Yes. Good,
Jake,
good, good.
Readily available right there. Like,
he just languished just trying to brain fade. Because he's never done that before, ever.
No, no.
None of us have.
No, I've done it on rants and stuff.
Yeah.
But I'll say, like, here it comes. Especially my infamously private one on Patreon. Way back when.
The green room, wasn't it? The green room.
Yeah, the green room, DJ. Patreon. Yeah.
But you can hear us.
Speak. Let's see what we got.
Yeah.
Speak. Arf. Arf.
There we go. All right.
There we go. Yeah, you can hear us. If you listen back to the show, you can hear you and I start laughing at what John has just said. And John doesn't realize what he said, I don't think.
No.
It just kind of carries on.
Oh, when was this? Last week.
Last week.
Yeah, your swear last week.
My swear.
Yeah, see, I told you, he didn't remember. You see?
Yeah.
He didn't even know he did it.
I try not to do that. Did I curse on this show, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. You
language. S-bomb. Yeah. Not F.
No.
Oh, really? Someone would have laughed there.
Yeah, someone that I know calls it the sh word.
Oh.
The sh. Gosh.
Yay, and,
yeah. And you, as I say, you can hear Deej and I start laughing.
Yeah.
As you say,
just kept going.
And I think we know you don't know. Yeah. That you don't even realize you said it.
I didn't, cause I still didn't know till just now.
So. Yeah.
So it was funny. We were laughing because, as I said, you didn't realize you'd said it. And it just, it was just anywho.
Anyway.
Anywho.
And the funny thing is, if I listen back to the show, I probably still wouldn't catch it because it just rolls right off. Like, I wouldn't even,
right.
It wouldn't even register.
Yeah, it was so natural. I mean, it is our natural
smooth. It's
my natural vocabulary.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I can't even, I don't even remember what you said it about. But it was just, it just flowed right out. So, okay.
We just start laughing.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
Expecting you to go, oh, sorry. And then you'd realize you didn't even know you'd said it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, never mind. Never mind. Anyway, how are we doing, fellas?
Sorry, Mike.
Done our, how are we doing? Yeah.
Mike. I'm doing great. I had a question for you guys. How difficult was it this week knowing that everything you watch was just going to get pushed off another week? We had we're building up for next week because we know we're doing the top 10 home theater experiences of 2024. And it's like, I actually was like, oh, maybe we could do a half and half, the first half of the show, we'll do some do regular and then we'll go into the top 10. And I'm like, man, no, let's just, we got it. Cause this list, I think, deserves it. And, once we get going on something, we'd run out of time. We're like, all right, we'd start at 10. We'd work out the last three, the top three. We'd be speeding through.
It's easy for me. I didn't watch anything. So
this week.
Yeah.
You did?
It was the opposite for me. I watched plenty. And as I said, a number of them genuinely would have made my top 10. Bizarrely. In fact, three of them would have made my top 10 and not the one you two are thinking about. We'll talk about that next week.
Oh, yeah. The one you made me watch.
The one you made me watch.
I didn't make you watch it, but you made me watch it.
Oh.
Again.
Oh. Yes.
Well, I guess I don't have to hear it because I know what you're going to say, but.
But I've seen three this week that would have made my top 10 genuinely. But I'm happy to talk about them next week. One of them, I could not help myself. I went on Twitter straight away and just blurted because I couldn't stop. It was awesome. But yeah, I've got three. One I just started watching this afternoon, which is like, wow. Next week's going to be great, but we'll, make do this week.
We'll make do. Yeah.
Try to keep them entertained.
I was telling you guys earlier, it's like today was probably the most expensive Kaleidoscape day for me in a long time. They had four movies drop. One I was really excited about. And now I've tempered my excitement since then. Jackie Brown, both Kill Bills and, Nosferatu all dropped today on Kaleid amongst other movies, but those four right there I've been dying for, and three of them obviously. I wouldn't say I've been dying for Jackie Brown for a long time, but I really enjoyed that movie. Yeah. And when you say I saw it, I was like, well, I gotta buy that one, So,
what do you guys make of Jackie Brown?
Actually, it's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
One of my favorite Tarantino movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. It's not a whole theater experience, but I want it in my collection.
Probably not.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I like that film quite a bit.
See, I've seen it, I think, four times, maybe five, but certainly four, I think. And I've never quite got the vibe of the movie. For me, it's my least favorite Tarantino movie of all the ones he's done, because I just can't quite get on board with it for reasons I wish I could articulate. It just, it lacks the kind of the narrative drive of his other movies for me. And I kind of just can't get into it. No matter how many times I tried, I mean, Kill Bill 1 and 2, the top, amazing movies, Inglourious Basterds. I mean, again, Hateful Eight from a couple of weeks back. By the way, John, did you see that? Did that arrive? Cause you ordered it, didn't you?
It did arrive, but I haven't seen it yet.
Oh man, you've got to see that. And I just, for me, Jackie Brown's never quite just gel for me. I just don't know what it is.
Oh, my God. Jackie Brown is like broccoli. It's interesting and good for you.
Yeah, and both reasons why I hate broccoli.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not a big fan of broccoli, so I'm like, not really sure where you're going there, Cap.
It's quite an apt comparison.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so it's just something about that film. I don't know, and I'm not sure I'll buy the 4K disc because I don't think I'd watch it again. I just don't. But Kill Bill 1 and 2, day one, you know, I mean, you make time for those. Although Ralph reviewed them both and really enjoyed Ralph Potts and said they're good upgrades. But unfortunately, as I think I said a couple of weeks ago, I was hoping that the 4K release of the first one would have the Japanese cut, which is the whole of the fight in the Crazy 88 fight. It's all in color. It doesn't go black and white, but unfortunately it is the American version, so it does go black and white, which I know you'll like, Deej, because, of course, that gives you your HDR and everything else.
Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to all that.
Yeah, I've seen the color version so many times, and I happen to prefer that it's a shame that that's all we get, but never mind. You know, beggars can't be choosers.
Yeah, nope. Well, you could try. Best you can do.
But I am looking forward to getting them. I think they're out here, I think first week of March. We've got to wait quite a long time. Whereas they're out, I think, over there physically next week or maybe even
is it next week
tomorrow?
Or today? Was it today?
It may have been. But I'll wait till March. I don't need to import them necessarily knowing the date they're out. But I'm looking forward to them. They are good.
Yeah, if you were hurting for content, maybe. But we're not really hurting for content. It's like, you know, I'm buying these things. I'm like, oh, I can't wait to get it. I wanted to buy it. I'm like, I don't even have time to watch them right now. But I've got movies that I bought for me and my dad to watch that I have. Oh, speaking of which, I asked my dad about We Were Soldiers. My parents had their 55th anniversary the other night and, sitting next to him at the table. And, we start talking. We're all out to dinner, the whole family. And, we start talking and, I was like, he brought it up. Somehow he brought up, I don't remember how we got on it, but Vietnam and stuff. And I was like, oh, by the way, we were talking about you on the show the other day. And he's like, you were? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, what were you saying? I go, have you ever seen We Were Soldiers? So I'm like, Mel Gibson. I go, it was like 2002, something like that. And I go, it's about like the first battle.
The Drang Valley or whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I said, I go, I go, I don't know if you, he's like, I don't really remember. He goes, I don't think so. And I was like, oh, I go, it's pretty graphic. I go, both, you know, gore wise, but also telling the story of the entry into the war and blah, blah, blah. And how, and I said on the show, I told him everything I said to you guys on the show. And I was like, have you ever, you know, even right up to like the story of, you know, we're shooting blah, 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 blah. And, you know, I've told this story in the past, but, he's like, we took the anti-artillery guns, aimed them at the bottom of the hill. People go up, hill goes up, people come down, hill comes down. We didn't even have to bury them. It's like, yay, this is a great story he's telling to a 10-year-old. And he's crying, laughing at the table. And I'm like, you made it sound like, I was like, we were soldiers. I was like, it was devastating. And you made it like sound fun. Like when a 1 year vacation, I got to play with guns. It's like, that's, and it's like, he is the epitome of Brightside. It's like, he got drafted, had no choice. You go over and he didn't bring back, he did, but he didn't come back and hold the baggage. He just said, had to do it, did it, and told me all the good stuff. And as we were talking, he said, I think he did see it because he remembers a bunch of the scenes we talked about. Particularly the napalm scene. I told him, I go, it was like, I go, if you're, you know, Saving Private Ryan only over and over. And he goes, oh yeah, 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 yeah. And then he goes, the night scenes. I go, there you go. And I said, I go, it was like everything you told me, only the real way, not the fun way. And he laughed. I sent them the link off for IMDb and where you can find it. He goes, I'll go home and watch it and I'll let you know. I was like, Jesus. I'm like, I don't want to watch it again. You live.
Yeah, man, it'd bring PTSD back to anyone that kind of went through anything like that. I mean, my goodness. Yeah. Well done for asking him. I mean, you know, it's good that it's not a taboo subject because I get the impression many vets, you know, just like don't want to talk about it. And, no. You know, I mean, if you encounter people from World War II and, you know, you speak to them, and I've met, you know, a number of them over the years, and, you know, when you ask them about it, you know, their brows furrow, their eyes cloud over, and they're suddenly looking far away, and you're thinking, yeah, I wish I hadn't asked about this. Cause, yeah. You know, what they're remembering is not, you know, what they want to sort of go through again. So yeah, no, but it's interesting, isn't it? I mean, and people that were there, if they feel they can tell their story, they should, because we'll never go through that. We're way too old for any of that now. And we'd we would never experience it that way anyway. We'd just not,
right.
That warfare is not that anymore. Right. And so kind of to be able to speak to someone about it, I think it's really important. And actually really good that he's willing to do that. So yeah, fair play to him.
Yeah. He, and in a way he does it. As a matter of fact, we talked about, one guy, what the heck was his name? The second in command under Mel Gibson.
Sam
Elliott.
Sam Elliott. There you go.
Sam Elliott's character. Right. And we were joking about, we're like, yeah, he was like so grumpy, like, oh, nice day today. Oh, you're a weatherman now. And my dad, right away, my dad goes, yeah, he had a whatever officer over him. He goes, he was just like that. He goes, you over here. Nobody drives my Jeep, but you. Nobody touches my mail, but you. Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, Dad, it might have been him. It might have been the guy. Yeah. I'm like, cause you were there. He was probably still there. You know, my dad came in shortly after that, you know, and I'm like, it might have been him. But yeah, it's like, yeah, the story, like one of the things that he told me is like when he first got there, he ran into somebody and he told me all these different stories. I won't get into them now because we got a list to get to. But I had an opportunity to go to a World War II museum put on, and one of the curators there was the guy that was over there, and we're in the waiting room and getting our whole family getting this VIP, and this guy starts telling the stories, and it was like verbatim of what my dad said, like verbatim. I'm like, you know, like you'd expect a little bit embellishment on stuff, and and it was like, nope, it was like my dad was telling the story. And it was holy crap. I was like, and in kind of the same way, it was all like, yeah, we did that. It was like, what the, you know, just, yeah. So when you get that kind of a backup, I was like getting chills, you know, it's crazy.
Would your dad ever do a Takeover Tuesday, Deej?
When I get into the house and he's there, absolutely. He'll do it.
Cause I mean, I'll tell you, man, that would be one, you know, you'd almost want to hear that live. Just dial me in. I'll just sit in the corner and say nothing.
Well, yeah, it's because it's who I am, right? It's how this show. It's the definition of the show, and it's he hates to talk, but I get him out here, and we'd just be busting. Yeah. Like he'd be like talking about coming home from. I got so many stories. He would just, and people would be crying laughing because he's like, he doesn't want to hear me, and to get him come on here. He's like, he's not a talker. That's the thing. He's just. He never, like, he'd drive me to the movies. Like, if John and I were going to the movies and John lived across town, he'd hate it that he had to drive me home afterwards, because once John got out of the car, I'd be talking to him the whole way home. He hated it. So needless to say, he doesn't listen to the show.
I'm telling you, man, Takeover Tuesday, Deej, that's the one. You could sell tickets to that.
Yeah. I'll tell him that. He'll be like, it's like, the funny thing is he's such a nice guy. He's such a like quiet, easygoing guy. I'm afraid I get him on, he'd forget that, Dad, this is going out to people. You're like, uh-oh. So that one time your mother, no, stop. Dad, a little too deep into the family secrets, buddy.
Yeah, then she sent me this letter. You never guess what was in this letter, right? What she said was.
I got to keep him on the rails. A guy that doesn't talk, you're always afraid the next thing to come out.
Yeah. All right. Well, look. All right. I'll do the Takeover Tuesday with him. Yeah. Then you can just put your finger.
No, that's
in your
even
head.
Worse. You wouldn't know where the story was going.
It's fine.
All right.
No, it's awesome.
That's so funny.
Made me think about it is someone that close to me is having to do a project about World War II and is having to interview people that not were there. I mean, there aren't many of them around. Let's face it. But that people that have been close to people, so stories that they've heard. And my dad, who was born in 45, so obviously he doesn't remember the war, but he talks about when he was 10 going to Normandy, and they went as part of a school field trip. So this is 10 years after, so 55. Yeah. And he vividly recalls walking on the beach and finding gas masks and finding the metal crosses were still there on the beach. And they were finding gas masks. They were finding ammunition. They were finding just school kids just walking along the beach. This was 10 years after.
Wow.
You know, so, unbelievable. And he remembers playing on bomb sites as kids. That's what they would do. They wouldn't go to the park, or they wouldn't, you know, obviously no video games. And so what they do is they used to go onto bomb sites. So where the houses had been blown to smithereens, they just play on those. And again, there would be live munitions in there. They would, and yet they'd still just sort of run up and down them and mess around with it and all that stuff. So, these are stories that we won't have. You know, we don't tell them. No one else is going to. And this is what made me think of it, Deja, when you say about your dad, because I'm fascinated about these stories and the thing that we will lose them. And then that will be that, you know, people ought to know. Cause it, you know, it's stuff that we'll never see and never hear. So that's why I like to hear it. So you've got a firsthand account there, man. It's amazing. Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
Movies. No, Captain AC3 after you watch Last Boy Scout together. Hey. Oh, which I love. It's like the listeners know, like they're like my dad's favorite movies. You know, that's so cool. It's like, yeah, thanks, Cap. That's awesome. Yeah. Did you, speaking of like Normandy or, you know, did you see or hear Chappelle's open monologue and his reference to that?
What SNL? It's like to be
on SNL. And he's like, what it's like to be a celebrity nowadays. He goes, it's like storming the beach in Normandy, but you got to keep a smile on your face. It's like, like everything's whizzing by. Like, oh, Steve blew up. Hey, you got to keep smiling. Keep happy. Otherwise, like,
I missed that. Oh,
check it out. Yeah, just Google Chappelle. It's crazy. It's like, only he could say that. It's so funny. Mm-hmm. Like, make a joke out of like D-Day and Normandy.
Too soon?
Yeah, too soon? Huh? All right. Are we ready to get to this?
Mm.
The list.
We are.
The All list. Right. And that's the only way to refer to it. It is the list.
The it's list. Not a list.
The list.
It's not the list. A list. It's not, yeah, you know, it's list. Everybody does their top movies, top this, top that. You know, it's all about the movie itself and the writing and the directing and the acting and stuff. No. This is all that crap goes out the window. This is all about the best home theater experiences. Maybe the movie could be enhanced by the mechanism of which you're using to enjoy it. The delivery system. Exactly. So that's what this list is all about.
Where have I heard that before?
Yeah, I don't know.
Someone keeps talking on about it.
I don't know. The only people that even come close to doing any kind of list like this is there is a Dorky Award, rightfully, thankfully named Brightside Home Theater Award for the best home theater experience, or where you can enjoy what you need to see on the best theater possible. So they did their list this year, and it's in with all their dorkies. So, but this is an entire show, the top 10. But first, guys, I was going to open with what we did last year on purpose, just to refresh your memory. But in there, there's a little something in there that we thought was unique to this year, and it's not. Wah, wah. It's like, so anyways, what do you think came in at 10 last year? Do you remember? Do you remember? Do you even remember what came in at 1 last year?
Oppenheimer or The Northman?
Northman was the year before.
No, Northman was the year before.
Oh, okay. All right. Oppenheimer then?
Nope.
Evil Dead Rise?
Nope. That was 3. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
was sense. Number 1 last fair, year. Fair. But going backwards from 10, now that you know that, but Super Mario Brothers was number 10 last year. Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning.
Guys, I'm sorry. I got to answer this phone call. I'm sorry. I'll be right back.
Okay. Mike issues phone calls. Maybe he's getting a job. That'd be good.
Let's just mute him before, because we can hear him.
Okay. I got it. You got him?
Got it. Yeah,
I almost muted you.
That's it. Hold on. Only in case it's a, in case small teams make a phone call. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So we had at number 8 was Transformers Rise of the Beasts.
I've forgotten that film.
I know all of these. And then, let's see, The Covenant came in at 7. 6.
Covenant. Oh, yeah.
Covenant. Yep.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Shot in Spain.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I love that one. Let's see, The Covenant, I had it 3. You and John didn't even have it ranked.
No.
At 11, but I had it at 3. yeah. But then, number 6, Sisu.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
Both you and John had that at 5. I had it, I didn't have it ranked. I had it at 11.
Oh, I'm surprised. Yeah.
Here's where we differed, or where we thought we might be doing something a little different this year. Titanic came in at number 5.
Okay.
You see what I'm talking about? It isn't new this year.
Movie. Yeah.
John had that at 11. I had it at 2, as high as 2, and you had it at 4. John Wick 4 was number 4, Evil Dead Rise at number 3, Oppenheimer number 2, because John didn't even have it ranked. He's like, I hadn't seen it.
Yeah, he hadn't seen it at that point.
He hadn't seen it yet. But it's like, I had it 1, you had it 2. he gets it like not ranked, so it gets an 11. It's like, whoops. So Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse comes in at number 1. John had that 1. You had it 3, I had it 4. So
yeah.
Just to
and yet, have you heard about what the news about the Beyond the Spider-Verse or whatever it is this next week?
Yeah. No, I haven't
recorded the dialogue for it yet.
That's kind of important. That's the most important part of the audio, anyways, for
an animated film. But yeah. I didn't realize that I thought that it was supposed to have come out like the next year.
Yeah.
In which case that whole film should have been done. I mean, they should have just been working on the animation and finishing touches, but it looks as though it's not going to hit until 2027 at the earliest.
Because
the cast haven't even begun to record it. It's either undergone massive rewrites or they've just sat on it for a couple of years because of issues. But yeah, the cast haven't even recorded it yet. It's kind of weird, don't you think? I don't quite get what that was all about then. But
yeah. It's like, you'd think if you're making a part 1 and a part 2, like you would do with
Dune, or you do with
Wicked is coming out. You plan accordingly, right?
You're already ready to go. I mean,
they even did that. I mean, could it be more complicated than the Lord of the Rings trilogy, which came out year after year after year? There wasn't even a two-year gap. It was every year, right? December every year, bang, bang, bang. And there you go. So this has added
complexity. I mean, this one, they had to, with animation, of course, you do the voices, then you've got to animate to it. Bearing in mind the complexity of the animation that they use, all the different styles.
Yeah.
That should have been finished pretty much before they even released the second one. And yet,
Markers run out of ink or something? And Amazon got backed up on their order. I think
you know what happened. Someone unplugged the computer without you saving the work and the whole thing went. That must be it.
Yeah, I can relate to that. That's awful. That was awful. I've had that happen.
Someone put their phone too close to the hard drive and it just wiped the whole thing.
Yeah. Yep. You'd think they'd have a little bit more of a backup over there, some kind of RAID system or something to help them out. I'll get Joe, my IT guy, on it. They'll help them out. That's what saved me.
Knock
on wood. John's back. I'll unmute him now. Here we go. We muted you just so we didn't have to hear that. I didn't want any.
Oh, you
personal stuff going out. Well, your mic was live and you walked away and I didn't know.
It wasn't a phone call, but your alarm and you needed to go to the little boy's room. We thought we better mute you just in case. Yeah. John. I mean, we didn't want to take any chances.
The grunts, the groans and the big, Steve didn't think I'd go there, but I did.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Nope, not at all. That's why I went to Steve's speech. Look how ready he is. Oh, my God. For people who want to listen to the audio only, go to YouTube at about 29 minutes and 4 seconds. And
look at how red Steve is.
A stop sign, for God's sakes. All because I said,
I was going to talk about Pearl Harbor and the Bombay Doors, but that's okay. We won't go. that's what my head went to. That's why I'm blushing. Anyway. Yeah. but we were just talking about
the noise he makes when he goes to the bathroom.
Yeah. He's not a presidential
bombs
address.
Away.
Bombs away.
December 21st, 2025, a day that will live in infamy.
Oh boy.
Yeah. At least no more than September. Sorry, the 20th of January will live in infamy.
January. Anyway. Yeah. December. Yeah.
It was my birthday and all. I was but just going to say that. Any deal about it.
Yesterday was his birthday. John's birthday.
Didn't
55 years young.
55. Oh. Double fives.
55. Yep.
Yep.
Oh man. Yep. Well, happy birthday for yesterday, John. You never told me that. No one told me. No one tells me anything.
I don't really make a big deal of it. Oh,
but could it, you know, at least text you happy birthday, if nothing else. If not arranged to sing along at court.
Oh, well then, geez, next year, remember for next year. It's January 20th.
I will do that.
Just put it on your Christmas card, John.
Yeah.
Put it on your Christmas card. And by the way, Steve, my birthday is in just under a month.
I'll get it right on time.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh man, well, happy birthday for yesterday, John, man. That's awesome. Very, very cool. Yeah. 55,
Halfway goes the chat. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Halfway to 60, yeah. I guess.
Halfway to 60. That would have been 30.
Yeah.
Halfway to 60.
Between 55 and, you know, 50 and 60.
Yeah, halfway from 50 to 60. Let's put
exactly. There you go.
I knew what you meant.
Right. Okay.
All right. While you were gone, John.
There
you go. Nice.
You've seen Dom.
Oh, 55. He's 55. Yeah. Camera must be blurring it. He must be using the filter.
There is no way.
There is a touch-up filter that none of us are clearly using for this. Steve, like, wait, there's a touch-up filter?
Yeah, now you tell me.
I wouldn't be so red.
I think it doesn't change the color. I was going to say, Dom's it right, 47. Okay, well, that's
His birthday, not his age. Okay, that makes more sense. Still looks good for 47.
Yeah, I mean, I know that, you know, living in France is supposed to be good for you, the Mediterranean lifestyle, but wowzers.
Eating healthy.
Yeah, man. I was going to start a snail and frog leg diet, but now forget it.
So, John, while you were gone, we went over last year's top 10, and in that top 10, number 5 was Titanic.
Oh, so, and that was the same. Yeah.
That was same as what we're going to talk. We thought this year broke the mold, but it really was Titanic broke the, well, that's ironic. Yeah. Sank the ship, broke the mold, whatever.
Broke the mold.
Yeah. Oh. you ever seen those memes of like Titanic and today's cruise ships? That's what it says. And it's like Titanic. It's just a picture of the ocean. Today's cruise ships, it's just a ship on the ocean. it's like, that's all right. Too soon? Maybe 100 years?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, 1912. Yeah, come on. It was more than that. Yeah. So did that Titanic disc ever come out? Funnily enough, Paul, someone mentioned on Twitter earlier in the week that they just received their fixed Titanic disc and they'd forgotten what was wrong with it.
Exactly. I was just going to say, what was wrong? Did they misspell it? Did the ship not sink?
This is the one, it missed the iceberg, this one. It was a bit awkward, really. Yeah. I can't remember. I think it was one missed line of dialogue or something, just one, something like that. I didn't bother. I mean, I was quite happy with it as it was.
Yeah.
I didn't really care. I think it was one line, you know, what was it, you know, Jack, you can, it was Jack's dialogue. You can fit me on that door, can't you? You cheeky cow. Just glug, 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 glug.
Oh my God.
Just that one missing line.
We so just heard what Steve would be saying, only there'd be a whole lot of splashing going on if it was him.
Yeah, Rose would be drowning. He'd be on the board.
Cow. Just called her a cow. Oh God. Yeah. All right. Are we ready to get to this year's list?
We are.
There we are. John, are you going to swear? Language.
I mean, I won't know if I do, apparently.
All right.
you guys let me know.
All right.
It was funny.
So let's start off with what didn't make the list. So last year, we actually had quite an extensive list because I said, give me a top 15 and then we'll narrow it down from there. And this year we just went with the straight 10. And with that, we ended up with 17 movies because we have different choices. So what actually makes the top 10? Just to let everybody know, if you score, for instance, John puts a movie, his number one movie gets a score number one, right? And you do it that way, all the way down to 10. And then when I score, it's lowest score like golf. That's how you get it. So you add up all the scores between us. The lowest score is number one. If it's not on the list, it gets an 11 automatic. So we have some in here that like John chose and we didn't see, and vice versa. I chose and they didn't see. So they get didn't see, but didn't have on their list. They get a score of an 11. So like we did last year, we'll go through and I'll tell you where it ranked with each person and how we go through it. So, these are our, seven honorable mentions, coming in at number seven with a score of 32, The Wild Robot. And we have no pictures for the honorable mentions. We will have images, especially for the audio only people. They love the images. So, stay tuned, people.
We'll just describe the image.
Yeah, exactly. So Wild Robot comes in at number seven honorable mention. John had it at 10 and Steve and I didn't have it on our list. No.
However, tune in next week.
Yes. Yes. So, number six honorable mention. Only one of us had that on our list. Aliens came in another score of 32. John had it at 11. Steve had it at 10. I had it at 11. And actually, as we make our lists, like you put stuff in and it pushes things down. I think mine actually came in at 12 on that one. The actual number just fell off the list by 12. This one here is interesting. I don't think either Steve or I saw this, but John had this one, Apple TV disclaimer. John had it at number 9. And Steve and I had it at 11 off our list. Yeah.
When you say disclaimer, is this the bit at the beginning that says smoking is depicted in this, in this film?
Yeah.
I mean, I know John said he was struggling for content, but that's just ridiculous.
Yeah. The disclaimer. Considering number 8,
number 9 was FBI parental warning. Guidance.
Exactly. No, number 9 was the disclaimer. Yeah. Number 8, FBI warning. FBI warning, yeah.
Number 9, piracy is a crime.
Yeah.
It is not a victimless crime, Steve.
Yes,
exactly. Here we go. Number 4, honorable mention. Score 31, same as disclaimer. Abigail. I can't believe nobody else had that on there. I had Abigail at number 9. And you guys didn't have
it. I watched
this
on a stream, so I couldn't comment on
the disc.
I enjoyed the movie.
Yeah.
I watched it on Blu-ray, and I think I was just annoyed it's not in 4K yet. So I think it just edged it out.
Oh my God.
I wanted to have a horror film in my list, and I went for another one that's subsequently been pushed off the list, which we might talk about in a minute. But I think had I had that in 4K, I might have been more predisposed to including that.
I loved it. I mean, I was shocked by it at how good it was.
Yeah.
But the home theater experience too was insane. I remember that. It's just insane. Number 3 honorable mention, Rings of Power on Amazon. John had it at number 8. I had it further down on my list, but it came in at 11 and Steve had it at 11. Oh, you haven't seen it at all?
No, I haven't yet. Oh, no, still not been able to get to it yet. I do want to.
Yeah. Great streaming experience. Great for, especially for streaming and Amazon. It was when it was out, we were talking because Amazon's so low on the list of quality
when they do
streams.
It right, they do it right. You know,
they do.
They don't always do it right, but
no. It's probably because they're probably the largest, most money making, so they can afford to make mistakes. Whereas the other, like Apple, is literally they just want to be that it's always quality. And Netflix, same idea. I mean, they make a lot of money. Not everything is perfect, but they're. Production on their high end, their feature films is like probably second to none, practically. All right, number 2 of us had this on their list. Bad Boys Ride or Die coming in at number 2 with a score of 30. John had it 11, didn't have it on his list or didn't make the list. And Steve at 9, and I had it at number 10. Mm. Just outside. And then,
I mean, that's an exceptional disc though, isn't it? I mean, again, cause the purpose yes. of these honorable mentions is to anyone that might have slipped them by, I mean, and not seen the show, yeah. It's a Sony disc through and through. It looks beautiful, sounds great, yeah. and is actually a really good movie as well, which it shouldn't have been because it's Bad Boys 4.
Right.
But yeah. it's actually really good fun.
Yeah.
And so well worth picking up. And of course, the other beauty of this, Deej, is by now, these movies are starting to find their way to the bargain bucket, aren't they? You know, they're on sale. They're cheap. So, you know, if you've missed it, do yourself a favor and pick it up. It is really good.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. The thing about Bad Boys Ride or Die that got me was the visuals. How good it looked. I mean, I guess it's, and you see, I'm saying that a lot lately because it's so much. I did a whole rant about it. It's hard to impress us audio wise now because you feel like everything's been done, right? But visually how they can enhance it just by the way they shoot it. You see great production, great cinematography, and especially in a Bad Boys movie. I mean, the great cinematography before was like a Hummer going down a hill in Cuba. It's like, yay, look at that. It's like, but the city shots, the wide shots of Miami and stuff, and them literally running through the woods. Oh, Nate, hey, how you doing, Sophia? Hi. There we go.
Keep it clean, boys. Keep it clean.
Yeah, keep it clean. There we go. Exactly. So all right, that's enough on Bad Boys.
The Wild Robots.
Still haven't seen that one yet. I'm waiting for a day where I'm really, really happy and just don't want to be anymore.
Yeah, and you don't want to be. Yeah.
I don't think it will make you unhappy. I just think there's an emotional journey on which you will go.
Yes.
But which I'm already on.
It's I don't think it's going to make you feel bad at the end. It's
not Old Yeller.
But at times it's just beautiful, absolutely beautiful, in every way.
All right, number one honorable mention, it's me right here. John had it at number 6. I literally, it got pushed out at number 11. It was my 11th. What didn't make Steve's list, unfortunately. The Fall Guy. And the reason it got pushed out for me is it's probably my favorite movie of the year, but home theater wise, which experience, that's what this is. It's like, for me, it's like all the ones that I had, 10 to a one. It's, when you're making these lists before we get to the actual top 10 now, when you're making these lists, it's so hot. Like, are you guys like, do I want to drop that? And then do you think of scenes that makes you go, all right, that one goes over that one, or? Yes. How is it for you guys?
Again, just to spill the tea on my list, because I'm the only one that had 4 streaming shows on it. That's my top 6 discs of the year are literally the only 6 discs I bought and watched for the year. Yeah. They made the list by default, because there was nothing else. So I don't know that The Fall Guy would have been my number 6 if I had 10. Well, you just said it. You know what I mean? And I don't know that Bad Boys might have been higher, might have made the list because I might have seen it and put it higher. So my list kind of skews the soup a little bit because I literally only had 6 discs. They all had to be on there because I didn't have anything else. So,
but here's why it doesn't skew the list. And I remember you saying similar stuff last year too.
Cause it was the same.
Exactly. But what the thing is why it makes the list legit, because if we all had the ability, if we're all out just getting everything, it was like, no, it's about the experiences that we had. It's about the experiences that we did and your opinion and your life in your theater matters. And it's like, not everybody can go and do everything. Like I can't, I'm having trouble keeping up with Steve right now. Steve's, I don't know who Steve's having trouble keeping up with.
Jordan. But, you know,
Jordan. Yeah.
But it's that's what makes our list, I think, legit, right? Yeah. It's not just about that. So when you do get the stuff like you're saying right now, John, is like when you do get to the top three, they're legit. Because right. You purposely, you bought those. You right. wanted, I think you did. Yeah, you did. You got them all. They're all in there. I'm like, yeah, top three. John doesn't know any of them. Whoops. Yeah, no. But you know what I mean? Like, that's what makes it legit. Like, right. And I mean, really, at the end of the day, we're going to forget about this by next year anyways. Well, until I read out the list again.
Yeah.
I heard my name. Yeah, Jeff Jordan. And he didn't even have his computer on. No. All right. Here we go. Are you ready for number 10?
Mm.
Yep. There it is. You see it?
I forgot. I don't think I put this in.
Bad
Steve. Bad Steve.
Yeah, bad Steve. Well, then neither did I.
On the list. Oh,
and this only because of me. Yep. And this is why your list is legit, John. Yeah. See? Look at that. All right. At number 10. Go ahead, John.
The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. A Guy Ritchie film.
Yeah. And did you see it on disc or did you see it?
I have the disc. Yes.
Yeah.
I actually saw this twice because I watched it digitally. Somebody provided me the digital code. And then I liked it so much that
he's raising his hand.
I liked it so much that people. I bought the movie and watched it again. So
yeah.
This is great. Oh. It's a great movie. I mean, super fun and just a great overall experience. So
yeah, I think when it came out, we all loved it. It was it a title, a show title, I think, maybe?
Probably.
And I loved it so much. I'm like, and I was so excited about it. And I'm like, it's like based on a true story. And Steve's like, oh, come on, Deej.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, there's something in there they based it on.
It's loosely based on a true story. There is the seeds of truth there.
Yeah. But just like John said, just a fun movie, but the home theater experience was the HDR with the scenery. You got the ocean shots. You've got all that, the boat scenes, the creaking. It like had everything that we reserved for. Like, I think the last time we talked about the creaking and the boat like that was the Dracula movie?
Demeter.
Last Voyage of the Demeter.
Yeah.
Exactly. So not that that's like a prerequisite to make our list, like you got to have boat creaking, but it is one of those that really is enhanced in our theaters because you have the Atmos effect. You have everything over the top, people walking around. The opening scene of this, if I remember right, it is a push play demo. The way they just the action, setting it up, and then the gunshot, the everything, I just thought is just a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a great disc, a great movie. I've already seen it four, maybe five times. It's fantastic. I really do like this film, but it just didn't quite have the oomph of some of the other discs that we're going to talk about, which is why it's a little bit further down, you know, what wasn't on my list, but it's a fantastic film, but it just didn't quite, resonate, bear in mind some of the other things, but it's a brilliant movie. And you know, so the fact that it wasn't on my list or yours, Deej, I don't think that doesn't mean it's not amazing. And again, as Deej says, John, it your list is legit because that's on there and it's a great disc. So yeah, nothing wrong with that at all. Yeah.
So of that, let's get to it. John had it at number five. Mm. And we had it at, we each didn't make our list. So I literally didn't even, like you, Steve, I'm like, oh my God, this is one where you're like, how did I forget that? And it's like, not that it's a forgettable film, but with all the other stuff that we have, you're like, oh yeah, yeah. So we each had it obviously ranked 11. And, so the next one, another one John brought to the list that I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. So. There you go. See it, Steve?
Oh, I mean, oh.
At number nine. Oof. There we go.
Oh, it's the wrong one, though.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you meant this year's. Oh, no, it's the new one.
It's the 30th anniversary of The Crow. I'll just have to say it because you don't have an image for it.
Yeah, well, I can remember.
I was not talking about that version. I have not seen that. I was talking
about
you're
a lucky fella.
Yeah. the release of the of the original.
I'll go with that. Let me see if I can get an image of that though. But yeah, so tell us, John.
I mean, that's, you know, that one, you know, again, was HDR heaven, right? Because it's so black and dark and just moody. And I, again, just a great movie that got a nice upgrade this year. Yeah. And yeah, it's hard for me to talk about some of these movies because I saw it like 7 months ago.
Right.
But, you know, I just remember having a great time with it, revisiting a movie that I had not seen in a long time, had not ever really seen to this, obviously in this quality before. But I just remember the visually, it was just stunning. You know, it's just really great disc. And, you know, again, you have the same type of storm effect, you know, Atmos effects that you get.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of always, like you said about boat creaking, you either have creaking boats or you have thunderstorms and rain. And that's, right. You know, kind of what shows off the Atmos. And this has tons of that. So,
yeah. It's what sometimes is referred to as the Ellsworth effect.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. On this show, anyways. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I thought, I mean, John, I'm like, again, this is what makes it legit. It's you're bringing this and this movie, like you said, it's practically a black and white movie, but it's not, right? You do, there are some really nice colors in this. Some of the explosions, the shots of the city where you see the explosions elsewhere. The opening, the, I don't want to say opening scene, but it, I guess it is. It's when they're getting killed at the beginning and the flashback and everything
flashback.
Detail and the clarity of which you're seeing things now.
Yeah.
And I remember it just looks so good. But the HDR of the streets when she's skateboarding down the street in the rain and she comes up to that little diner and the separation that you get from underneath the overhang to this, to the rain in the streets and you have, It's not an Atmos track. It's a DTS, or at least on the Kaleidoscape, it was a DTS.
I think it was on the disc as well. So I guess I'd said Atmos, but
yeah.
Now that you mentioned it, if I remember right, it was DTS.
Yeah. And the, but the soundtrack to this all enhanced by this, by the new version. But the picture itself is really what set it apart to me.
Yeah. Well, for me as well. It was visual. It was the visuals more than the audio for this disc.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was like even this image that I just grabbed for a second, like how many times have we seen this? This was like a set photo that we'd see and the detail that you saw in this right now, like and this is a blurry image on YouTube, but I remember seeing this picture and the detail. I did this costume 1 year and obviously after that. And it's like in this picture, you could see it's like electrical tape around his arms and stuff. You never saw that in the film before until now, right? And it's like the details that you could see. The scene when he is in the mirror and he's like, and they use that as a transition because they didn't have that. They filmed that with somebody else, but they put his face into the cracked mirror and stuff. That particular scene there, I was really interested in this 4K because I'm like, this is, you know, Jaws, you know, Sharpie shark. Right. Is this going to ruin that scene or did they? And I thought they did a really good job with it. I don't know if they reshot it or manipulated it so that they didn't ruin the scene, show too much detail, but I thought that scene came off really, really well, considering we're getting more detail in something that they were trying to hide detail in.
Right.
So, did you see this one, Steve, yet?
Yeah. This is I mean, I remember this is another one of those that my brother bought back from Canada. He got it for like $11. So it was very cool. So yeah, no, it's good. It is good. And given the two movies that came out, as Jordan says, they both came out, both the new one and the old one in 4K this year. Well, last year. This is definitely the better of the two.
Better movie, but I would say that the new one is a really good home theater experience as well.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I did like the movie too. But I thought the home theater experience was really good too. So I wasn't surprised to see John had it on the list. And I was like, I just assumed it was that one. But this isn't, I mean, I'm actually happier that this is the one just because I love this movie since since it came out.
Right. 30 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Over 30 years now, isn't it?
Well, I thought this was the 30th anniversary for the movie. I could be wrong, but I thought that's why the disc came.
Yeah, 94. Yep. You're right. 94. Yeah, it came out in 94. So.
But we're in 2025, so it's now over 30 years.
31, right, yeah, which, 31.
But it came out last year.
Fair play.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, a stickler for accuracy, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
It's okay.
Okay, counselor.
That's it. Defense rests.
There you go. All right. So for that one, for The Crow anyways, John had it at 4, and Steve and I had it at 11 off of our list. So, all right. Coming in at number 8, top 10 home theater experiences of 2024. Number 8, Joker Quack-a-Duck.
Follow a duck.
Follow a duck.
Follow a duck. It's just like it's become this year's dial of density.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. So we had – John had it off his list. Steve and I both – had it at number 7.
Mm.
So, Steve, okay, oh, I'll just go I mean, on. So I'll let you go first.
Yeah, bearing in mind the critical annihilation that this film had when it came out, and then the backlash that kind of followed from that against this movie from the heights of the first one. I missed it in theaters. I didn't see it. I waited for it to come out. Only watched it a few weeks ago, and we had Shane on, didn't we? I talked about it. I mean, that's when my mic wasn't working. So if anyone didn't hear me.
Yeah. So here you can hear his opinion on it now with a fresh mic.
There you go. Look at that. Fresh. The movie, I think, is very misunderstood. I thought the film was really, really good and actually something special if you delve beneath the surface of what's being presented. And it's not like you don't need a psychology degree to work out what's really going on here. But I think it's very, very interesting. It's a lot more complex than people give it credit for. So the movie, really enjoyed it. But the HT experience is exceptionally good right from the beginning. I mean, if you get beyond the Warner Brothers cartoon thing, which doesn't lend itself to brilliant HDR and 4K. But as soon as you switch to Arkham, that corridor and the details on the walls, the paint going, the rain in the outside, and then that Atmos mix really kicks in, and you can hear entire conversations going in the rear speakers, moving around the room and everything else, and it just goes on and on like that. The musical numbers are really good. You get that lovely thing, and one of the things I really like when they do this kind of thing is when you've got the camera will stray to the stage where people are singing on the stage, and you get one audio effect. And as the camera then drifts into the audience, the audio changes. And I loved that. And when I talked about it at the time, I mean, I know Lady Gaga's in it, so perhaps it reminded me of it. It reminded me of A Star Is Born. And that's another excellent HT experience where when the camera's on stage, you've got this, you can hear the audience at the back of the room. And then when it switches round, you've then got the different kind of reverb and everything from the front. It's exceptional. It's a really, really good HT experience. And in any other year where there weren't so many great releases, this might have been troubling my top three. I really did enjoy it, but it's been an exceptional year. So I thought it was great and way better than a lot of people give it credit for. And I still believe this will be reappraised in years to come and seen for being at least as good as, if not even better, maybe, than the first one. It's certainly more complex than the first one. And I love the first one. So, it's great.
Yeah, that's what I love about both of the movies is they're more complex than what you see and and what you hear, to be honest with you. If you're watching this on a 2-channel system or, just off of your display, you're not going to get really what the director intended, right? Mm. And then, I mean, you spoke, as always, eloquently about the audio, But also the variable aspect ratios, this is one of those movies that I think it's imperative that you experience it with that, because it adds stuff to, there are scenes in this movie that change aspect ratios that if you don't have that, you don't understand the break in reality to whatever that's going on, because there's nothing else on the screen audio wise or anything like that. And you, to tell you that you're in a different literal frame of mind here. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Just in that part to like, you know, what Travis and I were talking about and variable, you know, there are people that don't like that stuff and this, and I particularly don't like variable aspect ratio myself unless it's used like this, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's like everything everywhere all at once used it in a similar way, where it's part of the movie and it's mm-hmm. part of the storytelling. It's, you know, so that, you know, which that's not, you know, an HD. That is an HD experience because it's our theaters that are going to be able to really pull that out and make you notice it a lot more. But it's not like, oh, crazy HDR or something like that, or it's more of just the nuance of, and anybody can do that. I could do that here, right? I could all of a sudden change the aspect ratio. It's not a tricky thing to do. Mm-hmm. But I think for 2024, this is that movie that is greatly enhanced. Probably the number one movie enhanced by the, you know, the delivery system. Mm. Because if you're not, you know, because I know, you know, hashtag dork, they hated this movie. Absolutely hated it. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that even bringing them to a theater, like an appropriate place to see it, would even change their mind, right? Mm-hmm. And I think a movie like this epitomizes like our, you know, community. We look for stuff like this. We look for what is this? Why did that just happen there? Why did the screen change? Why did this? Why is that sound moving around the room? Right? Like, why did they do that? Why did the director decide to do that? And, you know, most people don't even care about that stuff, but that's what we care about. And that, you know, as Ron Howardly famously said, and Ron Howardly? Howard. Famously said, Ron Howardly. <Don't move> yeah, exactly. As he famously said, this is for the home theater people with Apollo 13 and the sounds they were doing. This is that movie. This is another one of those movies that, you know, I had it at 7, you had it at 7. And again, there's 6 movies that are going to beat it out and on our lists. And John's as well, but it really is like the number one example of 2024 on like why we do what we do and why we, you know, we're the community that appreciates, you know, all of this stuff. So,
and also though, I think if you also rethink about when you're in your theater, how being in a home theater where you're comfortable, where you've got a better sound system than most commercial theaters, better video as well, you're more likely to then engage with the film beyond what you would in a commercial theater. Because again, no adverts at the beginning, no trailers, no annoying phones on unless it's yours. And, you know, people talking, you know, people getting up and walking out, which famously happened with that as, you know, as if someone, I heard someone nearly did that in Nosferatu. I mean, I don't know who it was, but anyway.
Who could do that?
Shocking. Shocking.
Yeah. More about that scared
next week.
Yeah. Scaredy cat.
Dwakula will get me anyway. When you're watching it at home, though, you're engaging more. You don't have the distractions or the irritations of commercial theater, so you get to I'm not going near that. Did you read that? I'm not saying that. I learned my lesson.
So Greg the Oshum, Oshum, what the heck is wrong with me tonight?
Dwakula.
Greg Joshum, Greg the Awesome Ninja in the chat saying I'm gonna try to watch it tonight, trench permitting.
Oh, man. I hope he doesn't call her that all the time.
Yeah.
I am dead meat. Yeah. Come over there. That's the case, man. It's all my fault.
Oh, jeez.
So if you're in your theater, you are engaging with the movie better than you would else. So it's not just, I mean, it is the artistry. It is the story. It is the sound of the video, but it's also, you're more likely to be engaged with the film, I think. Certainly I am. If I'm seeing it at home and seeing it in a commercial theater, and this is why I enjoy them much more when I see them at home very often than when I've seen them, you know, locally. And that's for us because we're lucky to be able to do that.
Yep. Absolutely. So, all right. That was it. And that Joker too coming in. That was what we had to say about number eight. We haven't gotten to 7, 6, 5.
41 minutes left, guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Just, all right. Just all throwing right. it out there.
Yeah, I'm just throwing it out there. There we go. Here we go. Coming in number 7. I'll let you do the honor, Steve.
The Terminator.
Yeah.
1984. I should make sure that clear. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
This is where, well, we had, obviously we already had The Crow this year, as a new release, like Titanic broke the mold last year, coming in with a, you know, a remaster that made our, you know, top 10 list. The Crow first. Now we have, The Terminator with, as Steve put, when he first saw, you were the first one of us to see it. And, it was like seeing it for the first time.
100%.
And yeah. And when I saw it, I couldn't agree more. Mm. I mean, I've seen this now since its release. I've seen it 4 times, twice on disc. No, once on disc, once on disc, comparing disc to Kaleidoscape and then Kaleidoscape. So 4 times. Yeah. So it's like just, I could watch this movie over and over. And like you said, I think this one here is, mostly about the picture quality. I mean, the audio I'll let you go with that in a second, but the picture quality in this was one that I think a lot of us were afraid of. I wasn't afraid because of, like, I liked Cameron's stuff so far. A lot of people are critiquing it and waxy and blah, blah, blah. They don't like the, you know, Terminator 2 or whatever. So when we knew this was coming, everybody was like, oh boy. And I didn't think they were going to be able to do what they did. Mm. Like, I mean, you said it first, but it was like, it's like the film was just shot. So the complete, I mean, obviously they saved all the negatives. They had the film in pristine condition to be able to transfer this and pull everything out of it and make it look like it was shot today. Just beautiful imagery. And they reshot, they re-edited a scene, the razor blade, X-Acto knife scene, right? It's like in the original, there's no blade and now there's a blade. They went and they actually added footage to this. And it's, I mean, visually, I just think it's an absolute stunner for 2024. Steve, the audio?
What you said. I mean, the video, I agree with you. I mean, again, as I said, I was stunned when I saw this. And I did see it first. And as soon as it came on, and you can tell from the very opening credits, when you get the white on black is so sharp that you know you're in for a treat right from the beginning. I mean, yeah, and as soon as it started, I thought, DJ's going to lose his mind over this because I am. I mean, it's just awesome. And then you get the audio. So the audio is in Atmos and they've done it sounds as this may be, and I don't know if this is true or not. So if it's wrong, forgive me, anyone listening, watching, but it looks to me like it's a new audio mix, a proper mix. This is not a Atmos button mix. This is a, you know, back to Twister style stem, original audio stems, and let's have a new mix. Because right from the beginning now, when you've got the future retro scenes, you know, the HKs come right over the top of the screen. There's bass in this now, you know, there is all kinds of stuff in this. When there's the chase through the tunnel, so you get all the echoes and everything else, that feels like you are genuinely in that tunnel because all the overheads kick in. It's awesome. It really, really good. And if anything they could have skimped on, it would have been the audio. Because I think it was mono when it came out, wasn't it? I think that's someone said. So, you know, so they've turned a, you know, 1.0 mix into a, you know, 7.2.2, as it were, 2.4. And it's just, it's fantastic. And so not only does it look like it was shot this week, it sounds pretty much, I mean, within reason, sounds pretty much like it was shot this week as well. And it's a no brainer of a disc. I mean, it's incredible. And we can only pray we get Terminator 2 at some point in anything like this quality, because it's fantastic.
If nothing else, I'd love to get that in Atmos. The picture quality, I think they could improve on. I'm not expecting a huge jump in quality there, but I think with a nice Atmos track, would be something, you know, a completely remastered Atmos track on T2. But one of the things about Terminator is this brings it up equal to, if not now, better than Terminator 2.
Yeah.
Terminator 2 has always, going even back to the VHS days, Terminator 2 has always been the better, more well-produced film, making it the one you want to rewatch more, right? Mm-hmm. In your theater. Like Terminator 2 was, for John and I growing up, that was one of the first ones like we watched over and over because it was modern at the time. I mean, in the early 90s, you're like, oh, I couldn't wait to see T2. But then if you watch Terminator, it was like, even the VHS version, it was always lagging behind it production wise at home. Now with this, I think this is the better film. It's the one I would rewatch more often. I mean, Terminator 2 is basically Terminator. You know, they just change a few. It's the same story. Now it's just, big switcheroo. And I love it. Don't get me wrong. But this is the foundation. This is what got everything going. And this was like, for me as a kid, 14-year-old kid, being like, time travel? But if how does this work? I mean, just the entire thing about it. And now it's like, I mean, it's all modernized and there for the taking in your theater at the same level as everything that's coming out today.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, you know, hopefully the reception to this will get us a T2. I mean, you got your order in. You just want a new Atmos mix. I'll have the director's cut, please, as well.
Yes, absolutely.
I like the T-1000 malfunctioning, and I like the fact that it reads things by touching them. I think that's kind of cool.
The big scene of them changing the chip.
Yes.
Like I'd read the book before I saw the movie, and I thought that was I get what they did for time, but in the movie and the original cut, they just said I'm a learning computer. But in the book, they go into detail. But obviously, in the director's cut, they had to go in, and I thought that was that whole scene sets up the relationship of him protecting that chip when the Terminator is down, right? Mm-hmm. Him becoming John Connor to his mom. Like, if I'm supposed to be in charge, what are we doing here? Right? Mm-hmm. Putting his hand over the chip while she's hitting it with a sledgehammer, right? And all of that is taken out. And that's, So here we are at the number seven.
Though, if we start talking Terminator with you, Deej, it's never going to be quick.
I'm sorry.
No, man. Some discs are worth it, and this is one of them.
Yeah. Have you gotten this yet, John?
No. That's why it's not higher on the list.
Well, I didn't know if you had it and hadn't seen it.
No, I don't have it yet. Because, again, it would probably be top three if we had all seen it, right?
Yeah. Well, no, actually, let's go through that. You had it, obviously, 11. Steve had it at 5, and I had it at 8.
Oh, okay.
So, right around there. I mean, the list, it's a pretty good list we got here, guys.
Yeah.
So, all right. Let's see. Number, there we go. All right. Here you go. Number 6. One out of the top 5.
Oh.
There you go.
You could do this one.
Civil War. How long ago did we see this? And we all had it at number 1 for like the longest time.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
For John, did you see this?
Not we all, because I haven't seen it.
I thought you saw it.
Nope.
Oh, maybe this was this when you were away?
Yeah.
Maybe this was when you were away. We were raving about it at like number 1 for the longest time.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's kind of how I felt. Was it Covenant last year or something? And it was I couldn't take it off the list. And then it was like Oppenheimer came out and you're like, whoa. But yeah, it's like Civil War. It's like the sound, the video in this, I remember just the details that you could see in the background, in the skyscapes, in like everything that's going on in this movie. It was visually stunning and made you just sitting there, just staring all over your screen, looking, you know, I remember thinking is just that I couldn't look at the screen enough. Right.
Yeah.
And it was like watching it over you. I haven't watched it over and over. Have you seen, how many times have you seen this, Steve?
Twice. I've only seen the 4K disc once, so it was so good that the first time I saw it, I reacted to it so well. I'm always kind of wary of going back to it because I might not like it as much the second time
or third time. No.
No, I know. Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's just, you know, and also how much stuff coming out? He says pointing to a pile of discs that are 2 feet high.
Right.
So it's beautifully gruesome at times. I mean, I said it, we reviewed it again, we'll be quick because otherwise we are going to run out of time, aren't we? But to me at times it looks like a Planet Earth documentary. It's like the BBC yes. have gone out and just filmed the most horrendous stuff they can imagine. You know, I mean, there is suicide bombing. You've got people that self-immolate. And when you see that, it's beautifully horrific. In fact, it's almost like We Were Soldiers, actually, in terms of the napalm thing in that, you know, it's horrific what you're seeing, but it looks beautiful. And again, the standout scene with the embers and the burning forest as they're driving through, they look three dimensional. I mean, they look like you can touch them. And it's beautifully shot and it sounds fantastic as well. And it builds to an incredible crescendo. It's amazing. Very, very good. And yeah, exactly that. It was my number one for a long time. I think I remember even saying, if there's anything comes along that's better than that this year, I'll be amazed. Five. better this year.
Yeah, you had it at five. Actually, you had it at four.
I had it at five. Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
I had it at five. And yeah, so it makes our number six. Mm. But yeah, it's the Alex Garland, A24 film. That's what got me to watch it. I'd heard good things about it. I was like, okay, I don't know if the trailer didn't grab me or whatever. And I was like, all right. But then I'm like, it's an A24 film. And you know, Alex Garland, you know, an A24 Ex Machina, Annihilation. He wrote another Dread. One of our,
he was involved in yep. Dread. Yeah. I think he wrote Dread or had a part of Dread.
But Sunshine. Yeah. The one Todd Anderson told us about, that it's still going through the community to be like, I just saw this. Unbelievable. Movies like that. So yeah, it was one of those that I wasn't expecting a lot from it, but then again, enhanced by the delivery system. Absolutely.
And let us but hope that it remains, just fiction.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Maybe exactly. That's why I don't want to watch it again so soon.
yeah, a little too close to home. So, yeah. All right.
But do yourself a favor, John, if you can, you know, if you can get to see it, do see it, however you see it.
It's streaming. I've looked at it once or twice. I just haven't watched it yet.
It's well worth seeing. Well worth seeing. Mm-hmm. All right. Sorry, all
right. Here we go. Number five. From here on out, we all had these on our list. So this is the top five, made all of our lists. Number five, coming in, John had it at five, Steve had it at six, and I had it at six. The much ballyhooed Twister.
I couldn't have.
What?
I couldn't have had this on my list.
I thought you had it at five.
Haven't seen it. Don't know why.
Yeah. Not the new disc.
I mean, I've seen it, obviously, but I don't own the new disc. Yeah, no.
How did I get that? You have it.
Yeah,
it
wasn't on my list.
Uh-oh. Mm-hmm.
So you guys just had it high enough that it made the list.
Yeah. Six and six. But actually, we're just going to leave it like that for now.
That's fine.
Because that's going to change the whole
Evil Dead Rise, number one.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, okay, actually, so I had it at number five, guys.
Actually, you know what? No, it doesn't. Yeah, actually, it would change. It was, when you see it, you'll have it at number five. I don't know how that happened.
John, you will have it at number five.
I will.
You know what? Yeah, you had Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare at five, and I must have just fat fingered it. Let's, oh boy. Yeah. I don't know how I do that. But anyways.
Twister.
I think you'd agree.
It's at number five.
It's at number five. So we're going to go with that. So in that light, John, what did you think of it?
Yeah. Great. How good he is acting. Put him on the spot, Deej.
Yeah. Well, hey, that's what this is all about. Remember the time I told you we were going on live?
30-year-old remasters, guys.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Smooth.
So, no, as I said earlier, this is the one we thought broke the mold.
Yeah.
Right? Because we'd forgotten
about Titanic, two, three others.
Whatever the hell the name of it is.
Pricewaterhouse, where are they at?
Yeah, stupid mayonnaise jaw spoiled the writing. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got to talk to her. Hey, you screwed it up again. our accounting firm, that might explain the budget around here. Yeah. I'm still in a basement of the wrong house. Oh, so there you go. But no, yes, this is the movie that we thought this year literally made us forget about Titanic breaking the mold last year. But this is the movie everybody had been begging for in Atmos. And then we get the 4K, HDR, Dolby Vision, Dolby Atmos. And I was proven wrong. I thought this movie, this is the movie, how good it, I didn't think it was going to impress me. Because Gravity was the type of movie that was like with Atmos and the discrete simpleness of Gravity and how that was so impressive. And I always compared Gravity to like Twister, and because people wanted Twister and Atmos. And I'm like, do you really need it though? Because it's so chaotic. You can't have that discreteness. And I was wrong. I mean, wrong. It's like what they show you here and like, or let you hear, is you get amidst the chaos is all that discrete artwork of the sounds moving. Like you can listen to the cow. You can listen to the whoosh in the opening scene of him. That did not exist. Both Steve and I compared it. It did not exist in the Blu-ray in the opening scene. That suck from the back of your room. I said suck from the back of your room. You did not exist on the Blu-ray.
Got to have the right guy for that.
Yeah. Why a guy?
Oh, I do hope Sophia's gone to bed.
I hope so.
Oh, Jesus. I love Steve's face. He's got his, for the audio only people, Steve's got his hand on his chin looking away. And when I said what I said, he went, oh, yeah, you're right. Like, why? Like, well, he's already red and embarrassed. He's like, there's that.
I'm going to need a whole other jar for next week.
I won't remember it.
I won't remember. All right. Twister. Yes. I can't even go there anymore. A lot of windy stuff going on.
Yeah, I mentioned the suck zone. No, it's great. It's very cool, isn't it? I mean, it's such a good remaster of this. The remaster we didn't know we wanted or needed, and we got it, and it's fantastic. So much so, I think it's better than Twisters as a home theater experience and as a movie. It's great. Very, very good indeed. And again, anyone listening, do yourself a favor. If you haven't got it, go get it. Because it's very, very good indeed. And it's not just the audio, of course. They have tinkered with the color timing. They've changed how it looks as well. So it's not just the audio. Cause some people, I suppose, if you don't have an Atmos system, you might think, well, I don't need to pick this up then. But actually there are some substantial differences.
I showed them on the show. I had the graphic, the images of it, and it was like, it looks like it's supposed to be dark and gloomy. Mm. And in the Blu-ray, it looks bright. Everything looks bright.
And the green skies.
You didn't notice the difference. You didn't know there would have been a difference there. But then that scene I showed with the sirens and stuff, or the light bar and the headlights, right? And it's like supposed to be dark and gloomy. On the Blu-ray, the lights are lit and everything, but they don't look as bright because the area around it isn't as dark as it should have been. So all of that, the remaster of that, Shane was on here talking about the audio of it. I hadn't seen it yet. And then when I saw it, I was like, man, he shortchanged the video of it, the image. It was not that he didn't say anything bad about it, but that needs to be spoken about too. So, and that's why, of course, that's why John had it at number five.
That's right. And it will always be there.
And it will always be there.
Pound of high water.
Yeah. So, all right. Coming in at number four. And this, I know this was on John's list.
It was.
Right? Okay. Here we go. Number four. John, take this away.
Okay. So this is A Quiet Place Day One. For those who listened to last week's show, you know exactly what I thought of this because I just talked about it.
Yeah.
Last week. Yeah. Now again, of course, famously, I watched this on Plex, so I didn't have the disc. I didn't have Atmos, but I did have Dolby Vision, and I did have Pure Audio upmixed. But I can imagine what the Atmos track on the disc would be like.
I mean, this is with Twister.
This is just a movie that's made. This is a movie that's made for Atmos. I mean, it is just fantastic. Again, like I said last week, I enjoyed the film. I thought it was great. I don't think it's the best of the franchise when it comes to the story, but it may be the best when it comes to the home theater experience. And that's not to take anything away from the original two, because I think they're fantastic. But I think this one was just made for it, you know. I mean, all the crashes from above and the you know, I mean, there's just so much that happens that this is just a great experience. And I will be picking up the disc and watching it again. So,
Have you seen it yet, Deej?
Yes.
Oh, you've seen it since last week. Oh, so what did you think of it? Yeah. Because we've said what we liked about it. So, yeah.
Yeah. Everything that John just said, it's like the entire franchise is made for Dolby Atmos. It gives you that mix of Twister and Gravity, right? You get chaos that's going on, but the dynamics of the movie where everything has to be quiet and it, I think the story alone heightens your senses in your room anyways, because now you're, even as a casual viewer, if you've never seen this, you're like, once you know the story and you're into it, you're like paying attention to what's going on around the room. And a lot is going on around the room throughout the movie, even in the quietest scenes. Transition jump cuts are literal jump cuts on purpose. Like it could be a dream sequence or a memory, bang, boom. And you're just like, it's thrown in your face and your room comes alive audibly for like a half a second. And now you're just like, yeah, well, if you don't have to change your pants, it's, you know, it's, you go on with the movie, but it is visually and audibly stunning. And I mean, the, picture wise, you have at the beginning of the movie with the everything's fought, you know, smoke, whatever, you can't see. They do a great job throughout the movie of using focus on the lens to bring things into focus, put them out of focus, doing that with, you know, a whole bunch of like smoke or, you know, atmospheric effects or something like that. And they're pulling in. There's one rooftop scene where they're focused in on like the main character and you see the cityscape blurred in the background and it's just, you see fires and smoke, but everything's blurred. But just giving you that hyper sense of 3D, of reality, of like you're focused on that main character. There was another scene where the main character who's, I guess African American and she's very, very dark skinned and she's in the foreground. And then it's a night scene. I think it is actually the rooftop scene. It's a night scene, but everything, you have the atmospheric effect of all of the dark shadows off in the background are now muted against her dark skin. That scene there was like 3D. It was stunning. Like she's on the left side of the screen. You see every detail, every pore in her face and she's looking out. You can't even see what she's seeing because it's blurred. Mm-hmm. Right. But you get that sense of depth because of the blurring and of course of it's the shadows aren't as dark in the background. And as you get closer to the lens, the shadows get darker and darker. And she has a really dark complexion. So she's the darkest thing on the screen and right there front. And I mean, it's just gorgeously shot scene. And it's literally, she steps out of a door under a rooftop and it was stuff like that throughout the movie. Some underwater scenes that, you know, visually were really good. And then obviously audibly, you just, I mean, in your room. Yeah, try to repeat that one, everybody.
Yeah. Say that again.
Yeah. I just think, and again, the franchise to itself lends to that dynamic atmosphere and Atmos in your room. That is just it. I mean, again, in any other year, that's probably top two, maybe. But we say that every year. Drop this into another year, see where it goes. Probably the same place. It's like, but yeah, Quiet Place Day One. It's just, yeah. Steve, you had it. No, let's see. Let me see. I had it. John had it at 3. Steve, you had it at 8. I had it at 3.
Yeah, I think it only slipped down the list because I'd had forgotten about it, because I think I saw it a lot longer ago than you guys. So it had slipped down, but I remember loving it. And it's a push play demo right from the beginning. Again, I said last week, the title card, you know, New York's resting traffic rate is 95, yeah. And it just goes bang. And you're like, whoa, okay. So no, it's fantastically good. It's really good. And it is again, like all three of them or the other two, it is demo worthy right from the beginning. But where I think this one slightly differs is the other two, the chaos is enhanced by the lack of sound. I think this one just goes absolute for chaos, you know, where, because of course this is the only one set in a massive city. The others are, you know, set on a farm and then on, you know, on an island basically. Right. Whereas this one is in a city. So I think this one has more chaotic sound and less of the quiet stuff than the, you know, all encompassing kind of chaos.
Right.
But it's great for it. And again, it's one of the reasons why it's just a demo movie, just to chuck it on and away it goes. You know, it's great. Right. I'm looking forward to seeing it again. I've still only seen it once. So I will definitely revisit it, soon. I've got them all in 4K and, you know, it'll be great to go back to it. So yeah, it's great.
But that to me, everything you just said, Steve, is like the story. Like the first two take place, obviously after this, in areas that are quiet. Anyways.
Yeah.
So when these aliens would they go hunting in a place like that, any noise is going to stand out to them. So you do have that gravity effect of like space is silent, right? So they're out in fields, it's silent. And then any noise is then enhanced. And then the chaos is the action of the movie. In Quiet Place Day One, you go for arguably the noisiest place on the planet and reduce it to those fields. By the end of the movie, right? And I think that's the point of all of this. Mm. It's like, look at what happened. They start the movie with that. There's even a scene, maybe 20 minutes, half hour into the movie, where she steps out into the city and you get that. And that particular scene, remember she's leaving the theater, the marionette thing? She's leaving that theater. She's right by the door. She's shaken. She opens the door and you hear the city. And I'm like, what is that door made out of? That's what I want on my theater door. Right. I was like, sound perfect. She goes from inside the theater to outside and your whole room just gets that, it, you know, the New York. And then you start to hear, if you pay attention, you start to hear the helicopters flying around the room. And that's right before they, you know, she's getting, I want to go for pizza. And they're like, they told us to get out of the city. But listen to the helicopters going around your room. And nobody else is paying attention to that. In New York, right? Anywhere else in the world on any particular day, you had that kind of like military presence, people would notice. In New York, nobody noticed, nobody cared. And that city got reduced to silence by the end of the movie. So, spoilers, everybody.
Yeah. But it's because of the action scene seemed bigger in this, you know, the chaos that much more pronounced, but because of its location. But I particularly responded to that. I loved how that sounded. Yeah. All right. Yep.
All right. Moving on. We are now in our top three. Let's see. Move that over. There we go. All right. Here we go.
Ooh.
Number three. Godzilla. Minus one. Number three. What are you laughing at, Steve?
Sorry, I just even made me laugh hearing the thing in the background. Hey. Surely it should have been sounds of Japanese people going, ah.
Godzilla. John had it at number seven, correct? Yes, please.
I had it at number seven, but again, disclaimer, mine was the Netflix stream and not the disc.
Right.
So.
Which we all did watch at first. That's what we all based it on at the time. We had seen that. And then Steve, seeing the 4K release, moved it to number one. Mm-hmm. I had moved it to number two, giving it a score of 10. So, Godzilla. I mean, I think this fell perfectly for me.
I was going to say, knowing where the top two are, even if I had the disc, this still probably would have fallen at number three.
Yeah.
Cause we all know what the top two are at this point. So.
Yeah. Well, some people might not.
Well,
know,
we do.
We do. We know. But yeah, that's why.
Let it go, Steve. Let it go. All right. Okay.
Yeah. No, this has been talked about. This movie had been talked about by people that weren't home theater people. When they saw it in theaters, they're like, this is one that you got to see in a really good theater. This is, you know, the way this movie was done, that that chase scene in the ocean, and just I think for most people, the novices, home theater novices, not in this community, I think even in your local theater, I think the bass in this is what really resonated, pun intended, not intended, with people. You know, it's, I thought it just, the opening scene and then that chase scene, the roar, all of that stuff, and the weight that and that all comes from the bass, the weight that all carried, I thought is what really, really brought this movie out to people that aren't like the home theater aficionados that this community is, right? Anybody else have anything to say about it?
Well, it was my number one. It was top of my list.
Yeah.
And partially because of how much I enjoyed the film, but also because the audio in this, the video is very nice indeed. We talked about it as well not that long ago, and the video is beautifully done. It looks great, very detailed, with a nice sort of 1940s aesthetic as well, which is great. But the audio on this is what just blew me away. And again, it's that we talk about the walls just melt away, the walls of the room, no matter whether you're seeing this in a box room or whether you're watching it in a, you know, 200 seat theater. It's just like the walls have gone and you're just surrounded by chaos in the very best way. I loved the experience of this on 4K disc. I absolutely loved it. And for me, it's not really close this year in terms of what my top one was. This was, for me, was because of how much I enjoyed the movie plus the HD experience. This was not even close to, you know, being the best. It just was. And again, knowing what I think the other two are. But I think this is fantastic, and it's got to be purchased. It's a must buy. I mean, all these are, I would say, but this one in particular.
Yeah.
It's very, very good indeed. Yeah. And again, the standouts for me, the opening sequence, and then of course the attack on Tokyo when the, you know, yeah, when he lets fly with the atomic breath, spoiler alert, is just ridiculously good. And I just love this film. This film's great. Roll on the next one.
Minus two.
Yeah, it just gets lower.
Yeah. Keep on going. I thought, the audio, like I said, it's like everything you said. I thought the bass is what really resonated with the outsiders, if you will. But the picture, the quality, the detail that you got in his face, it's like some of those shots where you like literally are seeing inside his mouth, his eyes, the scales, that, I mean, there was so much detail in this movie that it just jumped out at you. Mm. And again, this is another one that it might have been higher on. Well, I had it at two. It may have been higher on my list. It couldn't have been only but one higher, but it was a better story too for a Godzilla movie, right? So it wasn't just a home theater experience like we talk about, like Twister or, I guess A Quiet Place. That had a good story too, but more action to your point, Steve, of that Quiet Place year one, day one. But this one had a really good story, which I think added to the dynamic. And we talked about it when we reviewed it. It was like there were quiet times, the dialogue, the drama of the movie with the giant creature in the back that happened to be there, you know. And I think that added to the dynamic of the movie, the storytelling added to the experience, right? And
yeah,
able to take place in our room.
Yeah, it's a movie that doesn't need Godzilla. And then how often do we say when we watch this, and again, we said it before with Monarch, right, you know, terrible the human characters were in that, and still are. Whereas with this, human characters. It's a story that's involving and engaging that doesn't need Godzilla. So when he comes wandering into it, it just makes it even better, but it's not needed. It's a very well told story anyway. Excellent film, really is. And I know it's from 2023. But, you know, we finally got the disc
came out. The disc came out in 2024. Home theater experiences of the year came out this year. The disc didn't come out. I mean, we literally just got the disc.
Only last few weeks.
Even I think it got released in Japan, even at the beginning of 2024.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's why it's home theater experiences of 2024, not movie theater. So,
great.
All right. John, anything? How long ago did you see it? How long ago did we talk about the digital?
I saw it whenever it dropped. I watched it right away when it dropped on Netflix. So whenever that came out. So it's been a while. And again, everything you guys said. Yeah, because even the stream was phenomenal. But unfortunately for me, the stream isn't going to touch my top two discs, you know, as far as the quality goes. So,
no.
You know, no. I can't imagine that this wouldn't have been in my top two, though, disc-wise. Right. So it would may have changed slightly.
It was close. When we get to the next ones, it did play a factor. It was close for me on my one and two. So,
but as long as we know
this was my number two.
As long as we know that number five definitely wouldn't have changed.
Was Twister. Five, yeah. Number was five was definitely Twister.
He had a tie at five.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Blame the accounting firm. All right. You guys see number two.
Yeah. All which means I know what number one is.
Yeah. Well, of course.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. I knew the top two once we got to number three.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right. Here we go. Let John take this one away.
All right. So this was accent, please, John.
No, that's not a knife.
Crikey. Anyway, Furiosa, a Mad Max saga. So just to jump, take a little bit from DJ. I know this was my number one. I don't know where it fell for, the other guys. But for me, this is again, it was my number one. Slightly, I did go back and forth between this and what will eventually be revealed as our number one pick. But the difference for me between the two is the fact that this just had no slowdown. Like it was, it's a push play demo from minute one and it never stops.
I think you compared it to Pacific Rim, didn't you?
Like, I did.
Just better.
Yeah. And I like Pacific Rim a lot, but it have made our list, even though I just saw it this year. it's a great movie. In a saga that I'm not the biggest fan of, these, you know, Fury Road and Furiosa actually are the only two that I even really like of the Mad Max movies. But this was a great movie. But again, when we're talking about home theater experiences, for me, nothing topped it this year. I mean, this was start to finish, just audio, video. I mean, it was beautiful. And it just sounded like, my house has never sounded like this movie made it sound. It's just phenomenal. So, whatever you guys want to add to that.
Same.
Yeah.
Yeah. What he said.
Yeah. What he said. Exactly. I'd heard some people didn't like it. I actually really enjoyed this way more than I thought I was going to. And I think it was because it was enhanced by, by the delivery system.
Right.
But like everything John said, it's like an amusement park ride. As soon as you push play from beginning to end, colorful, it has everything that, you think of like a Thor Love and Thunder and the vibrancy and stuff. And, it just the detail and the costumes, everything, the setting, the background, everything that goes on visually is just stunning. And then audibly, it's like same thing. It's the entire thing I'm trying to remember, Pacific Rim seems dreary compared to this movie. And it is. I mean, it's just the setting is, but this is so bright and vibrant. The entire time you're just sitting in your seat waiting for the next scene or next thing to happen or whatever goes on around your room. I haven't seen this in a while. And I just remember just being like, oh my God, it was insane. So much fun. And that's why it's like I had it three. Steve, you also had it three.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I mean, I'm the perfect example of why the delivery system mattered, because I saw it in theaters and I did not like it at all. And I reviewed it on the show from theaters and said this did not engage me at all. Watched it in Cinema George, complete 180. Loved it. Really, really enjoyed it. And that's purely because of how good it looked and sounded in my home theater. It was great. So yeah, I mean, it proves it. I mean, this was close between this and Godzilla, which was my number one. This was, probably my top three could be interchangeable really. Mm-hmm. But it's very, very good indeed. The only bad news, John, is I hear Robert Eggers is doing the next one. I mean, I'm just kidding. I just thought I'd ruin your day.
Dang.
Yeah.
Another movie to almost watch. walk out of.
Yeah. Oh. So no, it's very cool. This is a great movie and we've been spoiled this year. So that, you know, very cool.
Yeah. All right. There we go. All right. Number one.
Dun, people, dun, dun.
Do people not? I'm wondering if people remember this movie from this year.
Let's see in the chat. Like, if they're, anyone can guess what's number one?
Anybody know what number one is?
Can anybody guess what number one is?
Evil Dead Rise. Evil Dead Rise. Say Evil Dead Rise.
Oh, I was going to say, somebody just put it up, but that was you.
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't even been up there. No, well, yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, yeah. That was me.
Yeah. No guesses.
No guesses yet. Well, they haven't replied. Because it's one of those, we've talked about it.
Yeah.
And it's, but one of the, it's an older, almost a catalog title. But it's the fifth,
no, yeah, Steve. Fifth Element. No.
No. Brutalist just came out this year.
Yeah, we're not including that one yet.
It's not out for, it's not out at home yet.
There we go. I think we've got some, no takers.
No guesses.
All right. Yeah.
Mm, okay, then there we go. Well,
is it trapped to annoy DJ? Oh my God. If somebody can explain that movie to me, like, is there a hidden meaning there or something? Or is it just like, I wanted to buy a new house.
So in other words, could someone invisible man that stuff?
Exactly. Exactly. So.
All right. Let's put them out of our misery.
All right. Here we go. Number one home theater experience for 2024.
I kind of spoiled it.
There you go. What'd you say?
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, there you go.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, exactly. Dune, part deux. Yeah.
Follow a duck.
Follow a dune.
Follow a duck.
Follow a dune.
Follow a dune. I had it at number one. Hmm. And for a long
time. Yeah.
Yep. You had it at two. Steve had it at two. Total score of five. So we all had it either one or two, obviously. So hands down, it's, you know, top home theater experience of the year. Mm-hmm. For me, it was, I said it all year long, but when it came time to making the list, how is this not number one? Right? How is it not number one? But all year long, I said, are we taking it for granted? Because of Dune part one. And it's very similar in production and very similar, but you can't slight it though. It's just amazing. It's just, I'm speechless because I can't say enough about it, if that makes sense. Like, there's so much to say about this movie. There's not as much spice in this movie as there was in the first one, but when they show it, it's glorious, right? The sparkles on the screen. It's like everything. It's like 3D. How, as a home theater fan, I don't care if you like the story, you don't like the story, how do you not have this in your collection? Because it's everything that we talk about. It's like, this is that movie that you're going to play over and over to get people to feel the chairs, to feel the room, to feel everything. It's like, it's the, you know, the T-Rex from Jurassic Park, the base, because the entire movie is based on how do you attract these sandworms? It's like, boom. Doom. And you're like, how does that sound on just the television? Right. It's ridiculous, right? So, I mean, it's absolutely just hands down. It's like, all year long, I kept going, something's, but when you're making your list, it's like, how do you, it's just top notch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dune 1 was, and Dune 2 as well.
Yeah, I mean, I only rewatched this, as you guys know, at the weekend. So I saw it in theaters. I had the disc again, another one that came from Canada. Anyway, I had the disc. I saw it in theaters. I'm not the biggest fan of these movies. I'm not the biggest fan of Dune, you know, full stop. And I found it a bit overbearing when I saw it in theaters. As I said, when I reviewed it, it's so bleak. And everything is so overwrought. There's no comic relief in these. None. It's just so overwrought. And I find that a bit tiresome. So I've been putting off watching this again. And I probably wouldn't have seen it again if you guys hadn't kind of, you know, really urged me to do it. So I'm very fresh with this at home. And I still am not a big fan of the film, having seen it now for the second time. It's still very, very bleak. And, you know, Paul Atreides just needs to flip in. I don't know. Again, misquoting Good Morning Vietnam. He's in greater need of than any white man in history. Anyway.
Yeah.
So he just needs to just get on, you know, get off his, you know, anyway, never mind. So it's very bleak. And, but there isn't, and this is why it's not number one for me. It wasn't my top one because the movie's not, you know, I don't love the movie. And as you said, John, and you tech, you know, you don't have to love the movie. The HD experience is undeniable and you're absolutely right. So, right. So, I mean, there's no getting away from that. I mean, it is a peerless disc. It is mastered loud. It's supposed to be loud. There's no question, but I mean, the standout sequence for me, and again, bearing in mind it's very fresh for me, was the Paul Atreides first riding that sandworm, you know, when he first does it. It's just like, goodness gracious me. I thought my ceiling was going to come in. I genuinely thought the thing was going to just cave in. You know, the walls are moving, the ceiling's going around. The floor is vibrating. The seats are going. You can feel this thing in your chest. And all of this with one subwoofer, because I still haven't sorted out the other one yet. And yet still I could feel it. It's peerless, absolutely peerless. And there's no denying it. You just can't. It's incredible. And it is the archetypal demo disc. I mean, because you can bring anybody into this. They don't need to know about anything about what they're watching. Just hit play, put it on, and they're going to just be like, holy moly. What am I hearing? This is a new, something new, you know, the same way as I used to demo Star Trek Into Darkness, Pacific Rim as well, you know, and just be able to just put it on and go, well, just watch that. I don't want to tell you anything about it. Just watch it. But this is a new version of that. It's exceptional and deserves to be the number one. It does. Even though I didn't have it number one, it deserves to be number one because
on our list.
Well, on anyone's sensible list.
Well, I mean, again, I can't argue. Again, even though it was number two for me, it was by razor margins. Like, and I could have gone either way. And again, the only reason why I went the way I did is because, like I said, this at times takes its foot off the gas, and Furiosa never does. And you know, but
yeah,
I have no problem with this being number one. So.
See, Furiosa is more fun as well, though, isn't it?
Well, it is. Because
there is fun in that. Whereas this just I've been hit over the head with a bat for 2¾ hours.
I don't feel quite that way, life. But
right.
Because I do really like it. But I could see where you're coming from.
Well, the thing with like Godzilla Minus One for me, that I had that at number two. I had this at number one, whereas Godzilla Minus One was less demo material throughout the movie, less home theater experience demo material, right? Mm-hmm. This here is like, you can just, you know, blindly put something on and say, watch this. And it might not even have the most incredible Atmos effect at the time, but whoever is in the room, if you're trying to demo the room, the picture is going to be stunning.
Right.
No matter what is being shot, it's going to be stunning, and people are going to see like a clarity they probably have never seen before, because the way this is, I mean, even the image I'm showing here, it's like how the screen split in half, and it's like you have the darker scenes. There are times in this movie where they go to that darker and you're like, what's going on here? It's like, and then it changes back. It's like, everything about it's been meticulously made to manipulate you throughout this movie using every tool that they have, right? And it's just storytelling, which didn't hit it for Steve, but every other tool is hitting it, and it makes it, you know, that high on your list. It's, you know, it, I'd say like audibly Quiet Place Day One is probably the, for me, would, if I had to just judge audio, would probably be, that would be number one. Because that's a movie you can just put on, close your eyes, and just because it's so dynamic. And like I said, the mix of Twister and Gravity, and just listen to the things move around your room throughout that movie, right? But Dune 2, Godzilla Minus One, those are, you know, great. I like the stories in both, but it's demo material in Dune 2 from beginning to end that will just stun people. Whether you get the audio with it or not, the picture holds its own. It's stunning all the way through. Just the cinematography and the use of color and, you know, vibrancy and depth and everything, you know, just it, you know, number one. That's why I made it number one for me. So, and like I said, when we started this, I thought the list came out really, really well. Not even knowing like John with the crow, I had the wrong crow, but it works. And then bringing Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare in, that you and I are like, I mean, I say you and I, Steve and I are like duh, how did we forget that? And it's like, that's what makes our list so, I think, accurate. It's a, it's the diversity of opinions of the bus bench.
Mm. And there's no denying number five. Just so we're
no, over and over and over. Exactly.
I think every year, John, moving forward, you're going to have to just pick something completely left field at number five.
To be number five, yeah.
Whatever it is on your list, like E.T., you know, whatever. You know, just
Pinocchio remastered.
I mean, it's always Twister, I think. That's the thing.
So, yeah.
Exactly.
I'll be the one.
Yep. So starting at, going back at number 10, Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. Number 9, The Crow from 1994. Number 8, Joker, Park a Duck. Number 7, The Terminator from 1984. Number 6, Civil War. Number 5, Twister.
Obviously.
Not Twisters. Twister, the original. Number 4, A Quiet Place. Number 3, Godzilla Minus One. Number 2, Mad Max Furiosa. And number 1, Dune Part 2. So that's the list for 2024. Finally got it in.
Yay.
Yay. There it goes. There it is. All right. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Oh, they're still clapping.
Those Japanese people still running from Godzilla.
Other than Twisters, other than John having Twister at number 5, any surprises, guys?
I don't think so. I think this year we knew what was coming, in terms of, because, you know, top 5 are what we've all raved about all year. So it's good. It is very good. But there we go. Just keep an eye on the time, guys.
Yep. I know.
Sorry, guys. Sorry.
Gotta get you to bed. Mm. There we go. So,
tomorrow.
but yeah, that's our list for 2024. Next week, we'll be back to the usual. We'll have quite a list by then of, stuff to talk about. John, you gonna watch something?
I'll watch something, I'm sure.
I'll let you borrow some.
I had the week off, so I didn't watch anything.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. I did. Steve made me. I was already watching something anyways, so next week, we'll be back with our normal, home theater experiences for the week. But everybody, thank you for watching, listening all through 2024, and into 2025, another year. It's many, many years. I can't believe we've been doing this long, but hey, there it is. So, I will be on Patreon if I forgot to put it normal.
Steve at normal?
Normal? Yeah, that
is. So we'll be 15 minutes late and we'll have movies to talk about.
Yeah, exactly. We're definitely anything but normal. Thanks, Steve, for bringing that awareness. But I will be out. I'll be on Patreon for a little bit if anybody wants to jump on. So other than that, till next week, you know what you gotta do.
The sounds.
Nope.
Just started.
We can't get.
I know.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on, guys.
Be a long night, Steve.
Yeah, man.
All right. You know what you got to do? The sounds. Yeah, the wrong sounds. There we go. What do you got to do?
Push play. What he said.
That's right.
'Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production. With theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.